you hear me? We're in the back, right? They said they couldn't find the pastor's lapel, so they asked if I could just talk really loudly. I can't. So let's just go with that. If you need me to, I'll grab a microphone. If not,
good.
Okay. All right. So I've actually been a part of your church somewhat in the past 30 years almost. You're like, who are you talking about? I was in high school when I first started coming to church for a men's fellowship with Pastor Sheets. Let's go down a little.
It does.
I'm not that tall. So, in high school, I grew up in Beardstown, Illinois, and I came here for men's fellowships and stuff, and went and saw, I came to new Pastor Sheets, who was a pastor for a while. I grew up, went on to youth ministry. I was after youth ministry in Vermont, Illinois, for a little bit, and so got to know you guys in the valley. I worked in Astoria Garden, so, so I've been around. Recently, we moved to Chandlerville. I've been called to preach now. Phil Pulpit is what I do. I go from church to church, and I fill wherever God leads, wherever God needs a preacher, I go there. In fact, for sale, Christian Church, needed a preacher for about 6 to 7 months right before COVID hit, and I was there for those 6 to 7 months, and you guys are going there for Minnesota. So, but then I also, next week, if you guys are going to invite anybody to church, the next week when you're going to invite people, I'm a which means I paint the music. And I perform, I go around and perform different shows, different venues, church camps. In fact, the Gordon Blankenship has one of my original paintings in his office at the church. The camp there. And not to brag about myself, but to glorify God and glorify what he's done in my life. Let me go and introduce my family. This is my wife, Diana. We have 5 kids. Yes. We're not Amish. We have 5 kids, 3 dogs, 4 cats, 9 chickens, 3 turkeys, 4 ducks, 3 pheasants, 4 snakes, 3 lizards, 2 fish, and a hamster. I was going to try to get a partridge and a pear tree, but she wouldn't let me. So we have a big family. We're really blessed. As a family, this is what God's calling us to go preach, for me to preach, and to bring God's message to churches that need that message. And we do the preaching as part of God's ministry with us. We've tried to get out of it about 3 years ago, and this is part of my message today, is about God's calling on our lives. We tried to get out of doing all this. I'm a truck driver during the week. I drive for a farmer right now in the industry, so I can drive through here every. But I was a truck driver. I was working for a company called LME, making really good money. Working 60, if you know truck driver, you work 60, 70 hours a week, even local driver. And I was going, working 60, 70 hours during the week, preaching on the weekends, and I was going to shows every other weekend. So I was doing performances, preparing performances. I was tired. And I told my wife, I just like to. Done. I want to go to church, come home and, go to work, come home and go to church. That's it. And 3 days after I said that, God said, I still want you to preach. I still want you to do that ministry. 3 days after I told my wife that, my job laid me off. And the only thing I couldn't do was go preach. Do my pain. And God got us through. So it's that calling on our lives that God has. How do you know when we've been called? It's a good question today. So if you want to turn your Bible to Isaiah this morning, do you have your Bible on? Yes? If not, that's okay. I can talk around over it. Isaiah 6 is where we're going to be today. When Americans answer the cell phone, most of them simply say hello, right? I've heard that the response is a bit different in other countries. German answers the phone, they answer with their last name. In Denmark, the Danes will answer with both the first and last name. Russ would say, I'm listening. And as you hear, you know, you hear his friend say, well, who's on the line? Italians greet their callers with ready upon the caller's demand, who's speaking? The Spanish give the command to speak. The Chinese proclaim, hey, who are you? That's how they answer their phone call. If you live in a different country, I'd be interested to know any other traditions that people do for answering their phone. So there are different ways of answering phone calls. There are also different ways to answer a call from God. I know today's Father's Day. And I know today we're supposed to celebrate, but I feel fathers are called to be fathers sometimes. I work with a group called InHandle Orphans Ministry. We go around and form with them and raise money for different kids out of the country. And so we see these people that aren't called to be natural fathers. I work with a guy, I preach at a church in Virginia, Illinois. The guy doesn't have any kids. He's got a girl and some kids that he's taking in on himself. Not his natural kids, not even adopted. But he feels called to be their father. So just as I said, just as there are different ways to answer a phone call, there are different ways to answer a call from our Heavenly Father. God has called each of us. We are called to be saints. Romans 1:7. Called into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're called according to His own purpose and grace. But those who are called by God have different ways of answering that call. Moses answered God's call by saying, who am I? Gideon answered, I'm the least in my father's house. Zechariah answered, who shall I know this? Or how shall I know this? How shall I know this? And as we're going to read our scripture, Isaiah answered, here I am, send me. So how will you answer God's call in your life? It's a call that demands much from you. God's call asks for nothing less than everything you have. But it is a call that offers the presence of God in your life. Are you willing to answer that call? Will you answer Him? Will you be the man or woman that God has called you and us to be? Are you willing to accept the responsibility that God has laid on you? God is calling. Will you answer? So let's look at our text today. It's Isaiah 6. Verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the Zephyrim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His two, He flew, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our host. The whole earth is full of the praise of His Lord. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, ooh, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the Zephyrim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal. And he had taken this with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Verse 9 says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and say to these people, keep on hearing, do not, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. How do you know what you call? Can you hear a voice? That's basically the problem. I hear a voice tonight. I hear him speaking my name. It's not in shouts, it's not in proclamations, it's I hear things, and rather I hear faint whispers. That's the problem. It always seems to be a whisper. It never seems to be a shout, or at least for me, for whatever reason, God never seems to shout when he's trying to get my attention. God always uses his inside voice. My mother used to say, my father used to tell me, Matt, you need to use your inside voice. I don't have an inside voice. I have 5 kids. We have a 3-story house. But that's the way God is, though. He never seems to shout when trying to get my attention. God always uses his inside voice. Whenever I shouted or spoke too loudly or cried out, that's the voice that I would like to hear God say. It seems that it was easier in times for the disciples, and easier for the time of the Bible. It seems that Jesus spoke to them directly, and in no uncertain terms. When he spoke to Simon Peter, he said, in his companions, he said to them, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. In other places, Jesus is even more specific. He says to those 2 followers of John the Baptist, in his companions, come to Matthew as a tax collector. He says, follow me. It would have been much easier if that was the case for me than you. But instead, there is this small voice saying over and over, see, being called by God is no easy thing. But knowing that you're called by God, and knowing what God is calling you to do is even more difficult. How many of us have not, at one time or another, struggled with the sense of call, being called to do something? How many of us have not wondered what and why, and even if, God is calling? If only God were clear, and if only God didn't just whisper, if only God, didn't use his inside voice, if only God was like one of those war posters, the same thing that said, I want you. But that's not the way that's not the way my God works. God doesn't shout. At least not me. God doesn't cry out. God doesn't throw me off my horse or throw me from me. So how can we know that God is really calling us? Can we even know that God is calling us? Or is it just a figment of our imagination? Well, the answer, at least in my experience, is both, yes. We can know that God is calling us. And we can know that God is calling us to do something. So I have 3 things. So if you're writing something down, these are your 3 points of the sermon. But the first one is, I think it begins with desire. Not just God's desire for us, but our desire for God. of my favorite psalms is Psalm 84. It says basically, how dear to me is your dwelling place, O Lord. My soul has a desire and a longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. You see, this desire of ours is planted deep in our hearts as a result of God's desire for us. Paraphrase 1 John, we desire God, and God first desires us. Is this desire God's desire for us, and our reciprocating love, desire for God, which opens up and makes us attentive to the whisper, speaking of our name by God? And like love, we don't simply choose the desire of God. We fall in desire. Just like we would fall in love, here is desire is different than want. We want many things, including God. But when we desire God, something else happens. Suddenly the whispering of our name takes of urgency. We discover that saying, I love you, oh my Lord, my strength, my stronghold, like the lover that whom we fall in love, when we fall in desire with God, our whole life turned upside down. It is filled with an eager longing of the object of our desire, the very being of God. So we need to have desire. But we need to be willing as well. Be willing. Being called by God begins with our desire for God, so too do we need to be willing. We need to be willing to be called by God. If you're not willing, or if you're not, you have no interest, you are reluctant or hesitant, or if you're in resistance, you probably won't hear the voice of God. You ever tell your kids to clean their room? They may not hear you. They have no desire to clean their room. Husbands, you ever have that? You ever hear your wife say, you're not listening to me? Because sometimes we have no desire to listen to what the wife is telling us. Honey, do you listen, right? Or I do something I don't want to do right now. We need to be willing. We need to be willing to hear God's voice. Even if it's shouted from the rooftop, we won't hear it unless we're willing to hear it. Like those first disciples, we need to be willing, we need to be open to the possibility that God may indeed be calling your name. If you look at Scripture, it says the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, talking back to Philip, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. See, like Andrew and like Simon Peter, like Philip, Nathanael was willing. He was willing to come and see. He was willing to meet this Jesus. He was willing to entertain the possibility that this Jesus was who his friends said he was. We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. suspicion and that nothing good could come out of Nazareth. Nathanael was at least willing to come and see. In order to hear the voice of God calling us, we must be willing to be open to the possibility that He does call us. He does do these sorts of things. But that conveys to that God is the one that's sorted. He does all sorts of things like this. He appears to be very well of calling us. In spite of our suspicion. So not only do you need desire, you need to be willing as well. So we need to be willing to hear God's voice and be calling him. We also need to be ready. We need to be ready. I think there is one ingredient that to our ability to hear God call us right there. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to respond to God's call. I'm always amazed by the immediate response of those first disciples. When Jesus called them, when they had brought their boats in to shore, they left everything and followed him. And basically, if you look at Isaiah, Isaiah had, was there any question that he was not ready? He said, "Then they heard the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." His response was, as was those first disciples. Because he was ready and ready to go wherever God sent him. Even where he probably didn't want to go. There was no question for the disciples of saying to Jesus, I can't. I'm not ready. Come back tomorrow. Come back next year. Come back, When I'm ready for you, I'll help you, God. But when I'm ready, there was no question for Isaiah, the first disciple. They didn't say that. For perfectly honest, that's the hard part for me. I have all desire for God, and I'm really open and willing to hear God speak my name and call me. But am I ready to fall where he really wants me to go? That's the hard part. Yeah, I think Jesus knows that. Because he keeps calling. Slowly but surely I get myself ready to respond to whatever is next. For my family, it's something different. About 2 years ago now? We have a call in our life. I shared this with you. We feel called to Texas. About a year and a half ago, I was praying. I'm going to share this story. I was driving my truck, hauling grain. I was over in Jacksonville, Illinois. And I was saying prayer. I said, "God, I feel like you're calling me back to ministry, but I have no idea where you want me to do." And I said, "Wherever you want." I heard his voice. Now I'm talking to you. Texas. Now for me, that's crazy. Because I wasn't even thinking that. We always talk like, where if you move out of state, where'd you go? I thought Florida. I just say, love Florida. Georgia, maybe. Texas is not on our mind. So I was like, Texas, okay. So I prayed about it for 3 months. 3 months. Finally, I went to my wife and said, "You know what? I've got this calling in my heart, and I just want to share it with you." And I said, "I feel like God's calling me somewhere." She goes, "That's fine, because I feel like God's calling me to Texas." I didn't tell her that. I didn't tell her where. She just said, "Interesting." Maybe it's a kicker. prayed about as a couple. Prayed, and we're like, God, this is really what you want. Tell us. My little boy's in the back, this is James in the back. Helen just one of my family members too, but my little boy's James, and he's a junior in high school now. He's a senior now, sorry. And you think of any kid in high school, they don't want to leave at all. They want to stay put. They have some friends. But about a year ago, he comes up to us, and we hadn't told him we were praying about him. I feel like God's calling us to Texas. And so for my family and I, we thought we were going to be there by now, actually. We didn't really go. I was packed and ready to go, and Friday afternoon, I was ready to go, and God's been waiting. So we have some stuff we're going to finish up this year. And at the end of this year, we're looking. But for us, it's not about that church. We know that if God wants us down there, we're going to go either way. If I have to do what I'm doing right now, preaching different churches, God wants us, we're going. If God wants us to move down there, we're going. We know that's where he wants us. So we have that desire. We have that willingness. Yes, I've agreed to stay with my boss. So, what about you? Do you have a desire to be called by God? And I don't mean like, are you desire to move to Texas or running? It can be simple things. The things God's asking you to do in the church. How many times have you had a work project? And you had like one or two, say people show up. You know, say two people show up for a work project. How many times have you had I'm going to give a good one. You have to have a nursery skill. Our church at home, our home church is actually here in South Carolina, First Christian Church. The hard thing to find people to do is work, sit in the nursery with little kids. The hardest thing. But do you have a desire? And are you willing and ready to be called by God or yourself? Can you hear God whisper? As we celebrate Father's Day, remember we can hear you, our Heavenly Father, calling us every day. As long as we're willing, or as long as we have the desire, we're willing to hear you. We'll be ready to do what you want us to do. God, I thank you for my ability. I pray this isn't just fit today. I pray this fits their whole week, their whole lives from here on out. They desire to hear you. Pray to you. Well, the worst thing is coming up real quick. I'm going to keep my family up to school. Small Dinah. Boy, James is moving back. Jonah. Eliana. Yes.
Eventually, we have a desire, and we're going to adopt one eventually.
Pray for that for us.